Chapter 34. Consultation with a Demon. Kairos awoke shivering, with a taste of bile in his mouth. His first thought was to find the chamber pot, into which he emptied his stomach. He felt the burning, searing agony that Brannis had suffered, and tried to will it away. He pulled up his nightclothes and inspected his own stomach, just to reassure himself that he was indeed whole. A corner shelf held several decanters of wine. He tore the stopper from one and filled his mouth, swishing it about to try to burn clear the awful taste that threatened to overwhelm him again. He spat the wine onto the floor. The temptation was great to drink his fill and calm his nerves, but there was too much at stake to go at it with less than a clear head. His hands still shook as he dressed himself. On a whim, he rummaged in one of his desk drawers, taking up something beneath piled papers. It was his expert's medallion, his only keepsake from Tellurac. He slipped the chain over his neck and tucked the quill and S symbol under his tunic. Kairos drew. The wards around his bedroom flickered and gave way. He thrust open his door and stalked down the empty halls. It was early morning. A nagging question about eastern distance and differences in the rotational angles of Tellurac and Vaedrus played about in his head, but he brushed them aside. Distractions. It was the first day of summer, and Kairos's age day. Emperor Somek was to be wed, but Kairos had little intention of being there to witness the ceremony. Nevertheless, that was the direction his steps carried him. Servants fled before him. Even without a sense of the ether, they could still sense the enormous force of Kairos's continued draw clawing at them, trying to drag their living source toward him. Kairos found his path clear. He eased his draw as he approached the palace courtyard, where a throng was already gathered. Even though he was still within the palace walls, and those walls bore wards of all sorts, he could still see thousands of sources. Kairos had paid little attention to the details of Celia's arrangements for the day, but it seemed that starting early was a wise plan for what must have been scheduled as an all-day affair. He shut his eyes, focusing solely on the ether. There were powerful sources of plenty, mixed in among the more mundane sources of the nobility, the imperial circle, and likely the whole of the inner circle as well. Scanning further, he was able to make out Heaven's Cry and the empty void in the ether that marked Rashaan.
"Brannis, there you are!"
Celia shouted after him as he made his way for the doors. He turned to look at her, and her eyes widened. There must have been something in his manner, his look, that told more than Kairos meant to let on. Celia said nothing further, but turned and fled. It was a problem for another time. He had more important matters to worry about. Kairos made an effort to keep his expression neutral. He exited into the courtyard, wading in among the guests who had not yet settled into their seats. There were rows upon rows of benches arranged for all those gathered. It had apparently been deemed an event too long to force nobles to stand through. It was all Kairos could manage to force himself to skirt the periphery of the gallery, rather than flinging the benches and their occupants from his path. Folk called greetings to him and tried to introduce themselves, to engage him in idle conversation. Kairos caught sight of Rashaan, and all else faded from his vision and hearing. He offended his way through the crowd, ignoring everyone.
"Brannis, fair morning,"
Rashaan greeted him. The demon was too perceptive to have overlooked the glare that Kairos stabbed him with. Kairos stood directly beside the demon, elbowing his way past a pair of overpreened noble girls who would soon call themselves Empress, and one of the misbegotten blood scholars who was about to perform the deed.
"We need to speak in private," Kairos muttered through gritted teeth, trying to keep his lips still.
"Something bothering?" Rashaan began to ask, but Kairos took him by the arm and led him away from the terrace where the ceremony preparations were being finalized. Few folk were of a mind to intercede on the demon's behalf, and if those few were present, the thought of chastising Sir Brannis Solaran was enough to stay their tongues. There were a few gasps of surprise or indignant shock, but not one spoke a word to stop him, and certainly no one tried to bar his path. One of the great glass doors boomed shut behind them,
offering a modicum of privacy. "Oh, this is going to be interesting, I can already tell," Rashan said. He was wide-eyed, but the look did not convey any fear or surprise, just a manic curiosity.
"I need your help," Kyrus began. "Brannis is dying, mortally wounded."
"I'm sorry to hear that," Rashan said. Kyrus could have believed it, had he not trusted the murderous Rakashi's word over the master liar that stood before him. "But I know nothing of healing magics, too akin to necromancy. And though I eschew conventions when..."
"Shut up," Kyrus snapped. "You have a solution and I want it. I've worked out nearly every detail. I need you to supply the rest."
"The rest of what?" Rashan dangled the question like a turkey leg held above a starving dog.
"Immortality. I can save Brannis the same way you saved a dying Aga," Kyrus said, leaping at the bait.
Rashan paused a moment, put a hand to his chin. With the other hand, Rashan drew Heaven's Cry and was upon him instantly. Kyrus was shocked. A blast of ether struck him, just where that wicked blade was about to strike. It was all Kyrus's shield could do to withstand both blows in such close concert, but it did. Rashan hung in midair, straining, struggling to push the blade a hair's breadth further, to drive the blade through his shield and into his heart. Rashan continued his struggles as he floated back, caught in a clenched fist of Kyrus's magic. The demon's feet tucked up, knees jammed into his chest, head bowed. Kyrus did not even try to take Heaven's Cry from Rashan's grasp, but forced the blade against him as he pressed.
"Why?"
Kyrus asked, dumbfounded.
"You would have struck first had I said no,"
Rashan replied, straining to speak as he was being crushed.
"This is simple. Tell me how you did it. If what you tell me fits what I already know for certain, I spare you. If not..."
Kyrus said. He tightened his telekinesis spell around the demon. There was a popping and a crack. The demon's source was a slippery thing. He was harder to hold than Dolvain had been, but always before Kyrus had been mindful of harming his captives. The temptation to simply squeeze until the demon stopped moving was undeniable, but there was still a bargain to be had.
"You think this will be so easy?"
Rashan asked. Kyrus felt the demon straining against his hold, slamming ether about inside himself like a man trying to capsize a rowboat. Kyrus struggled to compensate and realized he could not hold Rashan much longer. Instead of fighting to maintain a hold, Kyrus opened a gap in it. The demon shot forth like a cannonball, striking the wall above the glass doors to the terrace and passing through the warded stone in a shower of black marble. The wall shuddered, but stood. The glass in the doors shattered. A discordant choir sang out in screams as the Imperial Warlock was jettisoned amid the guests. Kyrus found himself seething, breathing through his teeth. The edges of his vision grew hazy as he saw only a path to his murderer. Kyrus swept his hands out to the sides, and the debris and a goodly chunk of the remaining wall parted before him. He drew in earnest, preparing to put to the test all that he had read in Lord Harwick's notes, through Brannis's eyes. He strolled out onto the terrace to see where Rashan had landed. The scene outside was one of confusion. Some ingrained propriety in the gathered crowd kept a mass panic from spreading. No one was quite sure what was going on, and the chance that they might be fleeing before some prearranged spectacle kept most in their seats. Those nearest Rashan seemed most concerned, but least inclined to run.
"Stop him! He's gone mad!"
Rashan's high voice carried over the shouts and mutterings of the guests. The Imperial Circle were all guests of honor at the Imperial wedding, seated near the front of the crowd, just behind the noble families of the 16 brides. Not every one of them leapt to heed the demon's call, but there was enough loyalty among them that fire and lightning lanced in Kyrus's direction the moment the demon called them to action. Kyrus winced and threw his hands up to shield himself, but those instinctive reactions did nothing compared to the shielding spell that wrapped him like a mountain fortress.
"Brannis, what are you doing?"
Aloysia called out from among them.
"Get out of here," Kyrus shouted back. "This is between me and that demon."
Somewhere amid the crowd, The demon was gathering his strength. Kairos had never felt Roshan draw in anger, and was impressed, and unimpressed. Roshan was the strongest sorcerer whose draw he had ever felt, but he knew then that he overmatched the warlock. He also knew that Roshan knew far better than he what to do with his draw and all the ether that he could gather. Kairos took no chance on losing his main advantage. With renewed fervor, he grasped at the ether, not so much inviting it into him as taking a tornado's breath of it, demanding it disappear into the endless depths of his own source, and not Roshan's. Kairos stalked the crowd, picking his way over and around the bodies of those whose sources had not withstood his call. He heard the sounds of the periphery of the crowd, shrieking in terror as they found themselves caught in a battle likely to grace the histories, if any should survive to record it. A blast of ether caught Kairos from behind, distracting him from where he saw that Roshan must be hiding, the center of a circle of sourceless corpses. Kairos whirled, threw a wave of hellfire behind him, and resumed his search for the demon. "You've gone mad," Roshan called out, rising unsteadily from the piles of bodies. He looked whole, if not unharmed. Even as Kairos watched, the demon's body sorted itself out. Roshan shook limbs back into shape as a man might work loose a stiffened joint.
"You had me killed," Kairos shouted, careless of who might hear him. "And now you either help me before it's too late, or your immortality ends today."
"Look behind you," Roshan called back.
Kairos thought it such a numb-minded taunt, the sort of trick that children learn to ignore. But he heard the crackling fires, smelled the smoke. The ether behind him was a blur. He did turn, and the wall of fury he had built up to steel him in his purpose nearly toppled. Nothing was left. The inner circle, the brides, their families, the blood scholars. Gone. Burnt skeletons littered the courtyard and the terrace. The palace itself was ablaze. The wedding party and the whole of the inner circle, save for Roshan, were gone. Juliana's father was dead, and likely her mother as well, seated in the four of the guests. He could not help but think back to passages Juliana had read him from the Peace of Talax, wherein the mighty sorcerer was plagued by nightmares of the horrors he had caused and the countless lives he had ended. It had been so easy. The path of Talax lay before him, paved in corpses. He needed a focus for his spinning thoughts before he broke out sobbing. The demon. Kairos turned back to face Roshan. "This is your fault. All of it," Kairos shouted over the sound of the flames. The sounds of fleeing wedding guests faded as the few survivors got to safer distances.
"My fault," Roshan said. "I was not the one who did that," Roshan retorted.
A bolt of ether shot forth from the demon's hand. It was a thin, focused ray that stabbed against Kairos' shield, but did little. "This is what I've feared from you," Kairos said. He began to walk toward Roshan, flinging source-dead corpses from his path.
"Not your magic, but the destruction you leave wherever you go. They all warned me you would turn on me. Dulvane, Caladhris, Axterion. They all assumed I was unfit to face you, though. Too much a fire hurler, too little a warlock. The demons? They're more worried that I'll become Talax's heir. But they want you dead. I think this may be a day that ends with no one satisfied."
Roshan did not respond by words. He held his ground as Kairos approached. Somehow he had kept Heaven's Cry in hand. He rushed at Kairos. Despite his bluster, Kairos was shocked at the demon's rage. Again his reflexes betrayed him, and he raised his arms to ward away the blows, rather than just trusting to his shielding magics. Kairos took a deep breath as blow after blow rained down upon him. He relaxed himself and drew a gentler current of ether from farther away. The vicinity of the palace was as dry as Farron's Plain, but Cadrus held the largest population in the human world. The city was a shallow ocean of ether. Kairos rebuilt his shielding spell faster than Roshan could wear it down. The demon's continued ferocity was amazing to behold. His face was twisted in hatred, his sword arm inexhaustible.
He seemed more animal than human.
"You're frightened of me, aren't you?" Kairos asked. He had no need to shout, with the demon a mere sword length from him. "You hope to run me out of ether. You have no other option. Or do you?"
Kairos lifted Rishan and hurled him against the palace wall. This time he was not hurled through, but splayed against the black marble and held there. Kairos tore another chunk of the wall free, wards sparking in protest, but failing to prevent the vandalism. He brought the free section around and slammed it into Rishan. He sensed the working of some magic from Rishan and smiled. He pulled the section of wall back, and Heaven's Cry fell from the demon's hand, clattering off the side of the palace as it fell. Rishan twitched, struggling to move against Kairos's hold. Kairos slammed the loose section of wall into him again. He pressed it there as he tore the bit around Rishan loose as well, and floated the two chunks over to him, with Rishan between them like a paper press.
"This is simple enough," Kairos said. "You tell me what I need to save Brennus and we both live. You're certainly sturdy, but I have yet to strain myself against you."
Kairos pulled the two sections apart and slammed them together yet again. There was a grunt from between them, but it sounded involuntary rather than a plea to bargain.
"Time grows short. If I must, I'll just kill you and try on my own. I've been lucky before," Kairos said, leaning down to peer between the pieces of marble wall.
"Won't be this," Rishan managed.
"Bargain then?" Kairos asked.
He twisted and ground the sections together.
"Yes,"
Rishan slurred, his face mashed between the slabs. Kairos lifted the top slab and eased his hold on Rishan. The demon wobbled as he pushed himself up onto his hands and knees.
"Make it quick. Time is in short supply," Kairos snapped.
"Well, first you must..."
The two slabs exploded. Kairos brought his hands up to cover his ears, though his shield prevented the shockwave from deafening him. He was showered with bits of rock, and a cloud of dust billowed over him. He felt Rishan slip free of his loosened hold. Kairos lost sight of the demon in the light, and he was all but invisible in the ether. He coughed and waved his hand about, fanning away the smoke. Kairos shook his head, rueing his own stupidity, and cleared away the dust and smoke with a conjured wind. Rishan was not gone, as Kairos had first feared. Instead, he bolted for the palace wall. Kairos saw him scoop up Heaven's Cry, and prepared for the demon to renew his attempts to batter through Kairos' shield. He smiled a lopsided, spiteful sneer, disdainful of Rishan's lack of creativity. However, Rishan did not approach, nor even try some new way to attack him. A sphere of ether formed around the demon.
"No!"
Kairos screamed.
Rishan was mocking his urgency by fleeing the battle, or trying.
Kairos was not yet ready to concede the demon's escape. Summoning forth a spell he had grown all too familiar with, he formed a sphere of his own, and fled into the ether a blink's time after Rishan. Kairos found himself once more in the deepened abyss between worlds, not knowing what to expect. It was a place of naught but ether, and Rishan was notoriously difficult to discern by ether alone. It was so barren compared to his other ventures from the palace and its environs, sucked dry by him and Rishan in their duel. A streaking trace dispelled any fears of losing track of Rishan. He spooled a blue-white trail behind him. Though Kairos could not make out the form of the demon, he followed after the trail, gaining ground with ease. Seeming to be aware of him, the trail veered and dodged, as a rabbit trying to evade a fox. Unlike the fox, Kairos was no less agile than his quarry, and could not be shaken off the chase. The trail in the ether slowed. Kairos caught up to it, but knew not what to do. He had never attempted to work magic in the deep ether. He was fairly certain he was not even there in the purest sense. He watched it, as unsure of what to do with his catch as the fisherman who hooks the pier. It vanished. Kairos's musing ended abruptly as he considered the meaning. He looked back along the trail, mindful that Rishan might have been clever enough to double back along exactly the same course. No, it had to be the more obvious answer. Rishan had emerged on the other side.
Kairos examined his surroundings. There were sources all about, human by their look, but he had devoted all his attention to keeping Roshan in sight. He had spared no thought to where they were going. Kairos snapped back into the world of light in a crowded marketplace. It looked as if they had not gone out of Kadrus.
A beam of searing light caught Kairos,
shield and all, and threw him down the street, bowling over a score of Kadran peasants. He was dazed, but otherwise unharmed, though the peasants in his path could not have said the same. He scrambled to get his feet beneath him, glancing all about, looking for the demon.
"Ready to kill more helpless Kadrans in your vain quest, Brennus?"
Roshan shouted over the screaming peasants, fleeing to escape the newcomers. Kairos was intrigued that the demon chose Akkadian instead of Kadran. For all of its public calamity, their fight was private.
"Their blood is on your hands, not mine," Kairos replied in kind.
"I saw you plow through the lot of them," Roshan countered. "You were the one who hit them."
"Enough nonsense. Are you willing to endanger all these lives to keep your secret from me?" Kairos asked.
There had to be some way of reasoning with the demon. It was not as if he could bash the warlock's skull in and pour the answers out onto the cobblestones.
"These few lives? Gladly, to prevent the catastrophe that would ensue. You mentioned Talax. The only reason he is not alive today and ruler of this world is that he never found a way to live beyond his years. I will be a hero, and all will be forgiven among the immortals if I put an end to you here."
Another beam of light lanced forth at Kairos, but this time he reacted, pulling in more ether to reinforce his shielding spell before it hit. For a block in all directions, the folk of Kadrus felt the draw, and most did not withstand it.
"You see?" Roshan taunted. "You were a menace!"
Kairos snarled. He knew Roshan was twisting words, that it was Roshan who was the menace, not him. He pictured the scene from just moments ago. Utter devastation. Burnt bodies. The strongest shields of the inner circle withered before his casual flick of ether. A wave of hellfire poured down the street in Roshan's direction. Kairos squeezed the ether out of his source to feed it. Roshan ducked to the cobblestones, and Kairos watched as the demon's shielding spell shone, glowing against the fury of the devouring flames. Kairos had not expected it to kill Roshan. He still needed information. He was already drawing once more as the demon picked himself up, melted rock all around him. The street was in flame and ruin. Smoke billowed from buildings to either side.
"I ask you again, how do I save Brennus?" Kairos asked.
His voice broke as the realization hit him that Brennus lay bleeding into his own guts, ready to die in seconds or hours, with no way to tell for certain which.
"You do not."
Roshan disappeared once more into a sphere of ether. Kairos saved his swearing and dove into the ether behind Roshan. The blasted marketplace disappeared, and he was in deep ether once more. There was no time for doubt. All that had transpired was Roshan's fault, and that would have to suffice for assuaging his conscience while he hunted the demon. The trail was easy to spot, whizzing off into the distance. It was not dodging and darting about, but heading somewhere with purpose. Kairos knew not where Roshan might flee in panic. Did he have a pact with another demon? One of mutual defense in times of dire need? Did he have a hideaway somewhere where he might try to elude pursuit? Kairos followed the trail, gaining ground up until the point where it once more disappeared from view. Kairos examined his surroundings, finding them rather barren of ether. Roshan's plan became clear. Remove ether from the battle. Win with the sword. Kairos emerged not into the light, but the darkness. The pocket of air he arrived in lasted but an instant before he was crushed by an unfathomable weight of water. His shielding spell glowed against the pressure that sapped its strength by the moment. It was not meant to handle underwater conditions. It held up as best it could, protecting him against being flattened, but it provided no air. Kairos clapped his hands over his mouth. He had been unprepared for holding his breath. A gasp of surprise had nearly drowned him. Thinking quickly, he lit the sea depths like noontime, spraying a dozen light spells all about, lest Roshan unravel them and plunge him back into darkness. The demon was not far, and drawing nearer. Roshan cut through the water like a shark intent on prey, leading with heaven's cry. He needed no breath, seemed unbothered by the pressure, focused wholly on killing. Roshan stabbed at Kairos, hitting his shield, weakening it yet again. His movements were slowed by the water, but it was scant comfort. Kairos was running low on ether, but he had no choice. He would not last long beneath the sea without specialized magics that he had never learned. He dug into the reserves of his own source, feeling the hollowness within as he surrounded both himself and Roshan and threw them back into the ether. Strange worries scratched at the insides of Kairos's skull. Was he still holding his breath? Was Roshan going to continue attacking him as he floated helplessly in the water? Could Roshan influence their course? Of the first two, Kairos could not be certain, would not be certain, until they emerged somewhere. Kairos thanked fate, Tantcha, and whoever else might be willing to listen, that he was the only one guiding their journey. He took them up, seeking out the vast plain of sources that roughly defined ground level, and passed above. He allowed Kadrus to appear to him, and Pevit, using the two nearest large cities as guide points. He headed northeast, to Potawai. From Juliana's description of it, the place was brimming with ether. A sphere of water splashed all around them as Kairos dumped them beneath the sentinel trees of the ancient forest home of the immortals. He coughed and gasped, fighting to replace the air in his lungs so that he might fight again. The salt water drained into the greedy soil. "You would have made a fine warlock, Brannis," Roshan said. He stood dripping, looking like an angry young boy caught out in the rain, holding his father's sword. Except for his eyes. Those pale, heartless eyes betrayed the demon's age. "Who taught you all these tricks? I have kept a careful enough watch that you haven't learned them from the tower libraries." "You killed Caladrius, not his twin," Kairos said between breaths. "He aided me, as did Zizix, as did Iliardra. A great many foes, old and new, were willing to teach and tinker and hint, but none were willing to act, save through me." "What wonderful friends I've had," Roshan said, his voice flat. Kairos thought he sounded wistful. Roshan started to back away. Kairos felt a pang in his stomach as he followed. "Not long now, is it?" Roshan asked, noticing his discomfort. "I had hoped for a quick death with clean hands. I would have made no move against you. We could have rebuilt Kadrin as the power of the world. And then you could have died of age, like you were fated to." "So long as I can find you, I can keep hope alive. I will beat the answers loose from your lying skull," Kairos promised. "More certain of that than you are of trying on your own?" Roshan asked. "I'd bet your life on it," Kairos replied. Roshan smiled, thumped a fist to his chest in salute, and ventured once more into the ether. "Slippery bastard," Kairos swore to no one but the trees, who were too polite to comment. Another chase through the ether, and Kairos emerged on a wind-raked mountaintop.
The damp, mossy soil that came with him from Potawai rimed over in an instant.
A shiver ran up the whole of his body before he thought to warm himself with ether.
"I grow tired of this," Kairos shouted.
He turned about, taking in the expansive view in all directions. The ground beneath his feet was uneven, but level enough that there was no fall close at hand. There were juts and jags, and staccato breaks in the surface. Plenty of places to hide. In the ether, Kairos saw Heaven's Cry, giving away Roshan's position. It was tucked behind a rock outcropping, just a little finger of gray poking up from the mountain. Kairos attempted to draw, ready to lay waste to Roshan's ambush spot, but found that there was scant ether to be drawn. They were well above the tree line and any animal habitats. The only ether of note was Kairos's own, spilling forth from his source. Cool, smooth hands closed about Kairos's neck. Fingertips knifed in, clawing at his throat from behind. Kairos screamed. Roshan had not been hiding anywhere near Heaven's Cry, but had crept behind him. His voice carried out over the mountaintops, echoing back to him. His shield sparked and crackled as it fought off Roshan's grasp. It would not be long before it gave way, and then Kairos would not be able to scream at all. The hands were immovable as stone. Kairos's own grip was a shabby thing by comparison, unable to budge them, let alone break his grasp. Grappling with the demon by telekinesis once more, Kairos pried Roshan loose, lifted him aloft, and slammed him into the mountaintop. Kairos quit pouring his ether into an attempt to keep the demon still, and instead began a spell chant.
Iket Jimagu Denpek, Kairos chanted, pointing his fingers toward Roshan.
He saw in the ether as Roshan's shielding spell sprang into being. Kairos switched spells on Roshan. Instead of completing the firebolt spell he was chanting, he used the black lightning spell that Lord Harwick had said worked so well for him. He cast it silently. Roshan's shield was tailored to defend him from fire. The lightning tore through it like paper, spending its wrath against the demon's flesh, unhindered by his magical defenses.
"Excellent trick," Roshan mused, as he lay charred and smoking on the rocks.
Roshan pushed himself up to his elbows and nodded approvingly. Kairos cast him a beleaguered look. What further punishment could the demon stand? He felt empty inside. His last spell had dug into his own source for power.
"You spoke too much of your battle with Jinzan Fair in Zoran. You bragged of your trick of shielding spells," Kairos explained.
"Looks like that was not enough, though. You have reached the bottom of the bottle, and those dregs are not enough to finish me off, nor to escape me."
Roshan climbed to his feet and retrieved Heaven's Cry from where it lay hidden as bait. The end was at hand, it seemed. Brennus would last long enough to tell Soria that he had failed, but little longer. Kairos could outdraw the demon easily, but there was no ether to be had, save for within each of their sources.
"This has been a greater challenge than I can remember," Roshan said.
He walked slowly toward Kairos, who stood staring.
"No ether to be had."
"I will make sure that your part in this lives on long after you are dead, Brennus," Roshan continued. "I bragged of becoming a dragon slayer, but you are unique, my greatest accomplishment. I'm stronger than I was when I faced Lorimar, and yet you still pushed me to my limits, where I could have crushed him were he still alive today."
"Save for in our own sources."
Kairos reached deep into his own source, calling upon all the ether that was left to him, trusting that there might be a bit left afterward to allow him to survive. A white-hot plume of hurled fire erupted from Kairos's outstretched hand, bathing Roshan in an inferno that he had once described as dragonfire. Heaven's Cry clattered to the rocks. Roshan was driven back as the fires poured on. The rock beneath the demon's feet melted and flowed. When Kairos stopped, he felt as if he had turned out his source as he would a pocket, dumping the contents upon the mountaintop. He was empty, dizzy, wobbling on his feet, but alive. There was a stirring from the cooling puddle of molten rock. Roshan was clawing his way toward Heaven's Cry.
"Last effort," the demon gasped. "Not quite. Enough. I'll heal in a few moments. Then you die."
Kairos smiled. In the ether, he had noticed something that Roshan seemed not to. The demon's source was cracked and leaking. Roshan stiffened, stopped dead in his crawl.
"Brennus, what are you doing?" "I've got hold of your source, demon," Kairos replied.
He felt the strength returning as he refilled the emptiness from Roshan's own life essence.
"What? That's not possible," Roshan protested. "Stop!"
"I'll agree to stop, but you know my terms," Kairos said. "I have better things to do than finish you off. Speak quickly. I will not let you go until I am convinced you speak truly. You have until your source runs dry."
Kairos knew that the demon's source had to have been powerful, but it was a richer well of ether than he had realized. Still, while Kairos had hold of it, any attempt to free himself with magic was just going to hasten his own demise.
You swear?
Roshan pleaded.
I do.
And my word is more than a trifle better than yours.
I was Aga, but Aga was dying. Never mind how I discovered the secret, but I had to take Aga's source to complete my own, Roshan began. A puzzle with two pieces.
Kairos nodded along, playing a hand of crackle for the chance that Roshan would not try to bluff his way to freedom and Brannis's death. He could afford to get nothing away.
I stumbled upon the immortals by chance, looking for the gate to Tellurak. There used to be dozens of such gates, but I found one in their safe keeping. In those days, proving that I knew the reason for my trip and being able to activate the gate were all they needed to see to allow me passage. They were ready to welcome a rare birth, one of their own kind, said Roshan.
Kairos continued his draw against the demon's source. There was ether aplenty left, but he had plumbed its depth and knew that Roshan would have to hurry to finish his tale to seal the bargain if he were to live.
Then what? Kairos asked.
I found Aga. It was easy. I knew I was coming. I went to my own fortress, ordered my own guards to allow me in, and I claimed my source. From that moment I was immortal, one perfect source, formed by two imperfect pieces.
How? Kairos demanded. With what ritual? Describe it.
Is this the test of my truthfulness? Roshan asked. The trip between worlds is the trick. There is no ritual. Draw his source out, and it will fit snugly with yours. Every mortal-born demon has done it.
And what of Aga? What happened to him?
Aga? Roshan asked, incredulous. I am Aga.
Kairos nodded. I think I finally understand.
Very well, Aga. I think you should know that my true name is Kairos Hinterdale.
Why would I...
And I am the one who kills you.
Kairos increased his draw. Roshan shrieked.
I told you everything! You swore! The demon protested.
And I would gladly trade my honor for the lives of all those you might one day murder. I could not live with myself otherwise. Besides, Kairos said, pausing theatrically to look all around the mountaintop, it never happened.
You deceitful, lying! I hope they hunt you to the ends of the ether!
You should appreciate this. This is Roshan's bargain.
One final tug, and Roshan collapsed, a husk emptied of its ether.